To get started, I'd like to give you the reasons that we were interested in doing deficit irrigation of cotton. One being that if you add irrigation in a humid region, you have less potential to get return from that than in other areas. So we think we have to get as much as possible from the least amount of water put on to be economically viable. But one thing that was kind of shocking to me, another reason is kind of shocking to me, is as I went to the field and worked with irrigators in Tennessee who were putting out pivot systems, is how little water they were putting on. In fact, they were already deficit irrigating and then asking me the question, well, could I have got more yield by putting on more water? And I'm like, well, I think so, but I'm not sure. So I'd like to answer that question with this work. And then finally, kind of a curiosity of my own also, is that I've worked with other perennials and cut the water drastically and been very surprised at how well they have done in response to very little water. So I wanted to do the same thing with cotton. I need to recognize some other folks who make this possible, Owen Gwathmey and Chris Main from the West Tennessee Research and Education Center, and also need to recognize Cotton Incorporated, who funded this work. Drip irrigation was used in the study, but it's not because we wanted to study drip irrigation. We really wanted to be able to improve center pivot irrigation, but we needed to make small, manageable plots that we could work with, and so we chose drip. And with that drip system, we were able to create different irrigation rates by using a 670, a 440, and a 220 tape. We were able to put on 1.5 inches, 1 inch, and 1/2 inch per week with running at the same time, so we didn't have to turn a bunch of valves on and off. We also used this micro-irrigation system to initiate irrigation at different growth stages, at first square or match head square, first bloom, and then 2 weeks after bloom. And we did that using the drip system. Here's the drip tape going out to the cotton, and there's a header line. And on that header line, we have these small valves. And so when it's time for the match head square to be irrigated, we'd open those up and leave the others closed. So it made it very easy to control when water went on to each plot. And then also you can see the rest of the drip system here. Here we have the main lines that go out to those headers, and we're able to, in a very small, I think it's a little over an acre, we can do 10 treatments and 4 replications. And just to make sure we really know what those treatments are, I'd like to go over them again here quickly. I have 9 irrigation treatments here, and initially all the valves, those small valves, are off, so there's no irrigation going on to first flower butter match head square, and then all those valves will be opened up, but they have different drip tapes on them, so they'd be irrigating at a different levels, okay? And then when first bloom occurs, again, those valves are opened up, and we have 3 types of drip tape, and we have 3 irrigation levels. And then 2 weeks after that, these valves are opened up, and we have 3 irrigation levels again, 1.5 inches down to 0.5 inches. And we're looking at 1.5 inches as being almost full irrigation, slightly, maybe slight deficit, and these definitely being deficit, 1 inch and 1/2 inch would be below what cotton would use. And our 10th treatment, of course, is the dry land. Now, we didn't just irrigate every week 1.5 inches and 1/2 inches. We used rainfall and with rain gauges. And if we got 1/2 inch of rain, we only irrigated 1/2 inch that week. If we got 1 inch of rain, we didn't irrigate. So it is tied with irrigation also. Some descriptions of the growing conditions, so you kind of know what went on in the 2 growing seasons we have, 206 and 207. We used the same variety, Delta Pine 143. And it was the same plot, same soil, Memphis silt loam, which is a very good soil, and it's under no-till conditions. Both years they were planted the last week of April. But the thing that's really different is the growing seasons, of course, and the rainfall we had. In 2006, the drought period was from mid-June through mid-July, about a 5-week period with only 1 inch of rain. And that's kind of the towards the end of match head square and then the and then 2 weeks of first bloom, so it's around right around first bloom. And what's really interesting is we had quite an opposite season in 2007. We had dry period at the start of match head square, and then we had a drought period starting mid-July to the end of September, so starting after the time period that happened in 2006. And 2007 drought, of course, was much more severe than the 2006. So and then the last thing I think you ought to know a little bit is when we stopped irrigating, we ended at first crack bowl, which happened to be around August 19th and August 21st in those 2 years. So I'm going to jump right into yield and revenue. For 2006, we do have revenue because we've had the cotton class, but for 2007, the class information has not come back. And again, as we look at, I can't use, oh, there's the pointer. I had lost it for a while. In 2006, try to get you oriented here because there's a lot of information. Here we have it lined up. Here's the first time we opened up at Matchhead Square, June 12th. And then here's the irrigation rates. And then again, second time we opened up at Bloom, and then 2 weeks after Bloom, and then the irrigation rates. And maybe the first thing I can focus your attention to, here's the irrigation amounts. They kind of run from high to low, but not quite perfectly so, is that our highest yields did not occur. They occurred here, but they weren't necessarily our highest irrigation rates. And in fact, when we started irrigating early with 1.5 inches and 1 inches, we lost yield and had put on more water. And we got most of our return from putting on about 2.5 inches to 4.5 inches of water here starting right around Bloom when the drought period was. And then it started raining about the time we got to 2 weeks after Bloom, so there wasn't much water put in these last three. But that's kind of interesting, too. Even 1/2 inch of water gave us, about 150 pounds of extra yield in that last period. So we didn't need much water then, but it was very responsive to that. And then compared to our dry land, all the irrigated treatments were significantly improved or better yield. As far as revenue is concerned, same setup of treatments pretty much here. And again, the price information, try to get you oriented here a little bit. One thing we saw is we got some of the higher prices with the highest yielding cotton. And that was mostly due to improved color. There was a little bit of improvement with irrigation in Micronair, a little bit of improvement in the drier ones for strength. But the biggest thing that really showed up, and I think it shows up here between dry land and the heaviest irrigated, the highest irrigated and non-irrigated, was trash. We had a lot more trash where the plants were bigger and put that price down quite a bit more. When you apply the price per pound to the yield and get a look at the gross, again, we look quite well here with our high-yielding, high-price cotton. We've made about $150 extra per acre. But if you look here where we put the most irrigation on, where we lost price and some yield, we're not making much. You didn't do much good over dry land. Basically, until you pay for this water, you've lost money by irrigating. So that's a quick look at 2006. I think I have to keep moving here. Quite fast, actually. Here's a look at 2007 yield results, and I organized them a little differently than I did before. I put all, here it is. Here's the cursor. I put all the high irrigation rates up here, and then here's first time we opened the valve, second time, and third time, then the 1 inch rate, and then as we opened them, and then the smallest. So I organized them a little bit differently, and all the highest yields this time came out with the highest irrigation rate, 1.5 and 1.5 inches. We got our highest yields. You see the A's here. But again, we've had a similar trend that we had in 2006. When we started early with the high rate of irrigation, we lost yield again. See, the 10 inches has less response than here, these lesser 7.5 and 6.5 inches approximately. And another interesting thing to note is that all the yield response occurred pretty much after July 20th. If you look here, these are all the same. So where we put the least water starting right at Bloom, and where we put the least water starting 2 weeks after Bloom, we've got pretty much the same yields as when we started earlier. And our yield response in this drought year was pretty good because we almost pretty much doubled our yields from dry land to our highest irrigated plots. Again, no class information. But one thing that may help us look at this a little bit is we did take soil moisture information or soil tension with watermark sensors. There were two sensors put in each plot, one at 9 inches and one at 24. And the data I'm going to show you is averaged between the two. And again, there's so much information. I didn't show you all the plots, but what I'm going to try to do here is I'm going to show you the high irrigated plot, the one that had the most water, and the dry land here at the bottom, so the green and the red. And then the ones in between I'm showing you are the ones that had the most yield response. And you can see here these two blue ones that were irrigated starting the second, at first bloom, have really high yield response. But they're showing soil moisture is lower than I would expect to be optimum for cotton growth. We're really usually thinking about 60 to 80 as more of a trigger point, but these are down 120 even to 150 at times, so quite a bit lower. And in fact, this one where we started irrigating with 1/2 inch of water at Matchhead Square looks almost the same as dry land, but had very good yield. So One explanation, I think, for that is we started getting rain in these later periods, and so maybe the rain's just stacked above the 9-inch sensor. We're not really counting that moisture. There may be more moisture in this profile that we're showing. But anyway, we really pulled a lot of moisture out of there and did a pretty good job with that cotton. And then in 2007, a different story. Again, I did the red, the dry land for the bottom, and the green is the highest irrigated plot. And then the ones here are in between are some of the highest yielding plots, which are more in line with what we'd expect to keep cotton around 60 to 80. But interesting enough, again, just the same as in 206, this highest irrigated one looks like it's in a good range for good yield, but it wasn't the highest yielding. So again, it shows up even in the soil moisture information that there's plenty of moisture, but something else seems to be going on. I don't think I have time to talk about cotton growth, but there's differences in plant height, earliness, and gin out, and you can see a little bit of that from this photograph. And I'll just try to summarize with the time I have left. One thing I think we've seen is all irrigation treatments produce more yield or return than the dry land. In fact, about $150 per acre was the max. Here we don't have the price yet, but if it's a price we expect, it'll be more like $500 per acre increase in this drought year when we doubled the yield. So if you're looking at a pivot, and this year you could have made an extra $30,000. This year maybe on a 200-acre pivot, an extra $100,000. That's $130,000. If you've paid for your pivot, that's a lot of extra money. If you have to pay for it, you could probably pay for it, plus the cost of running it those 2 years, and you'd have it now for another 20 years to run and make money for you. So that looks like a pretty good result there. Maximum yields in return occurred at the medium irrigation amounts in 2006 and 2007, so in this 4.5 to 2.5 range, and here around 7 inches in 2007. Again, this seems to be coming up a second year in a row. High irrigation rates initiated at match head squared decreased cotton yield and quality at these higher irrigation rates. Cotton yield was only increased due to irrigation at around first bloom and before first bloom in 2006. We had no effective irrigation in 2007 during that time period. Cotton yield was very sensitive to irrigation applied 2 weeks after bloom. From a half inch, we gained 150 pounds in 2006, and in 2007, from only 2.2 inches, we gained 470 pounds. That's half the yield gain was gained in that third growth stage with very little water, so it seems to be one of the most sensitive stages to increasing yield. Cotton yields were maxed at all irrigation rates. In other words, we had a high yield at a half inch, an inch, and an inch and a half in 2006. But only an inch and a half in 2007. So we have to say, sometimes we're going to need that high rate. We can't necessarily always get along with a low rate. And then finally, the tension thresholds for optimum cotton irrigation were lower than expected, especially in 2006. And that could be due to rain at the top of the soil profile not really hitting that first sensor, but they're quite a bit lower than we expected. And if I do have any time, I'd take some questions.
There is time for a few questions.
No, once we started it, we just kept going until the end at crack bowl, and then we shut them all off. So it's more an initiation study. It's not a turn-off study.
But how about during your daily operation? Did the system run for 1 hour, or did it run for 7 hours? Is it all that daily application?
We'd irrigate twice a week. If it didn't rain, in other words, and we put on a half inch, one on I think Tuesday and a half inch on Friday, and we'd have to run about, what was it, I think, well, about 3.5 hours to put on a half inch, so about 7 hours in a week to put on the inch. But at the same time you're putting on that inch, the higher drip tape's going to put on the inch and a half, and the lower one's going to put on the half inch. You know, I didn't notice it in 2007. We did have some creeping of water at the 1.5 inch, the higher drip tape rate. It didn't flow necessarily into the next plot, but in our gaps between the plots, we saw some water move down a little bit. So, yeah, there was a little bit of movement. I think as we got into no-till the second year, I don't think we saw as much. We didn't see water moving like we did the first year, so.
The dollar figure growth,
No, I haven't yet. We may do some of our own economics, or we may bring somebody else in to really look this over economic-wise. But, yeah, I just looked at gross. You know, I look at, depends on how deep your well is or your water source, but $3 to $4 an inch. So we're some of those higher ones, we'd be adding, you know, $30 of cost just for fuel costs. But, of course, then there's your own time and labor and upkeep should be added in there, too. So a lot of things. But, no, they're just gross numbers right now.
All right.
Thank you very much.